Good afternoon, 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
Folks, that's serious, because accreditation is necessary for federal financial aid for our students.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says the judge who blocked Governor Bevin's order to create a new board of trustees at the University of Louisville expressed concerns that it could impact the school's accreditation.
Paintsville's mayor will be sentenced in January following his convictions on public corruption charges.
And the Lewis County School District has a new superintendent.
In sports, the Reds and Cardinals play the rubber game of their series in St. Louis.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy tonight with showers likely and hail possible. Lows around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A Kentucky judge has blocked efforts by Republican Governor Matt Bevin to replace the Board of Trustees at the University of Louisville. It's the governor's second defeat in an ongoing feud with Democrat Andy Beshear, the state's attorney general. The ruling from Franklin Circuit Court Judge Philip Shepard today permanently blocks an executive order Bevin issued earlier this year, replacing all of the university's board members. Beshear argued that order was illegal. Beshear is hoping if the governor appeals the decision, he'll do so right away.
We owe it to our universities, our students, our faculty, and to the Commonwealth to move this forward as quickly as possible. So I'm calling on him to file that notice of appeal today, and we will join him in a motion to move it directly to the Supreme Court. I mean, our students, our faculty, our universities deserve that finality.
Kentucky Supreme Court last week sided with Beshear when it ruled that Governor Bevin could not cut the budgets of state colleges and universities without approval from the state legislature.
The Huntington Herald-Dispatch is reporting that the mayor of Paintsville has been convicted on two counts of stealing federal funds and one count of aiding and abetting bribery. Bob Porter was found guilty of the charges following a jury trial Tuesday in London. He'll be sentenced in January. Prosecutors said Porter did not pay for more than $7,000 in utility services for properties he owns in the Johnson County community. They also charged that the mayor used thousands of dollars in city and federal funds to pay his personal expenses.
Portsmouth Police Captain Lynn Brewer says the investigation continues into a pair of shootings in the same neighborhood early Tuesday that took the life of one person and critically injured the other. Brewer says the shootings on Summit Street may be related, but that has not yet been determined. He spoke with WSAZ.
They're both right here in the same area. You know, we make you think that, but we don't have any evidence actually linking them at this time.
The person killed in Tuesday's shootings has now been identified as 19-year-old Austin Valentine. Police say the injured man is 41-year-old Ryan Harris. He is recovering from multiple gunshot wounds at Southern Ohio Medical Center.
Kentucky State Police are awaiting a report from the state medical examiner's office following the discovery Tuesday of a decomposed body in the Milo community of Martin County. That's the area where 37-year-old William Scotty Fannin was last seen nearly a year ago. However, Trooper Stephen Mount says police are not making any assumptions about the person's identity. He spoke with WYMT.
Given the proximity of missing persons, of course his name may come up in that, but that doesn't mean that we're going to rule out any other names that may be involved there as well.
Police are continuing to collect evidence at the site today. Trooper Mounts tells the Hazard Station the probe is still in its infancy.
A Moorhead man has been arrested in connection with an online investigation into child pornography. State police report 26-year-old Joseph Fulton was taken into custody Tuesday on 67 separate counts of possession and distribution of matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. He is now lodged in the Mason County Detention Center. The incident remains under investigation.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul says he's reluctant to give the FBI more powers to investigate terrorism until the agency does a better job using the tools it has now. The Kentucky Republican made the comment Tuesday to FBI Director James Comey during a hearing in Washington. Paul says the agency has investigated a number of people suspected of being terrorists in recent years and concluded that they didn't pose credible threats.
This would be true of the Boston bomber, the underwear bomber, the Garland shooter, the Orlando killer, and the most recent New York bomber. You know, we're all fallible, and I'm not here to say, gosh, FBI is terrible because it missed these things, but I'm also troubled, though, the FBI is unwilling to even admit that they may have made some mistakes.
Paul says he's not seeking to blame anyone for making the wrong judgments following those investigations. However, he says failing to acknowledge errors makes it impossible for the FBI to improve its operations.
A new school superintendent has been hired for the Lewis County School District. The Lewis County Herald is reporting that the school board Tuesday night named Jamie Weddington as the new school's chief. Weddington most recently served as the district's director of pupil personnel. He was also principal of Lewis County High School from 2005 to 2009. The district's interim superintendent, Don Pace, died unexpectedly on Monday.
There's good news regarding fall enrollment at Round County's public schools. Superintendent Marvin Moore says the number of kids attending classes in the district is up this year.
Last year we were down about 50, but this year overall we're up by 25, and we're pleased with that because at the end of the second month, we get a growth factor with our SEEK allocation. That helps us to bring more revenue into the district. But, you know, we're still right around with our preschool enrollment, around 3,300 students.
SEEK is the basic formula used by the state to fund its public schools. They receive roughly $23 a day for each student in attendance. Since Kentucky schools offer 170 instructional days a year, that comes out to about $3,900 for every student enrolled.
Governor Matt Bevin is looking to make significant changes to the state Medicaid program, and advocates of Kentucky's current health care exchange are taking advantage of a federal review period to ask for public comments. State Representative Rocky Atkins attended a public forum Monday night in Moorhead, hosted by the health coalition Keep Kentucky Covered. Atkins says he heard compelling comments from various health care professionals.
We heard from David Bolt and others here tonight who are true experts. We heard from a pharmacist tonight who really is concerned from being able to provide quality health care moving forward. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of concerns, I think, that need to be answered.
Officials with Kentucky Voices for Health say the governor's waiver would include harsh penalties, copay charges, and reduced benefits for some people. The coalition will host another forum on October 3rd for Prestonsburg residents to record their opinions on Bevin's proposed changes to be submitted to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The federal comment period remains open until October 8th.
Voters in the Martin County community of Warfield have legalized the sale of alcohol. The vote on Tuesday was 67-4. County Clerk Susie Skiles described turnout as low for the special election.
Ashland City Commissioners are reviewing a consultant's strategic plan for wiring much of the downtown area for broadband service, though the report did not include any cost projections. Even so, Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says it's essential that pursuit of the initiative continue. He says broadband is fast becoming as essential as good roads and utilities and can make a huge difference in a community.
I'm excited about that. We think of highways, railroads, airports, but now internet and broadband, internet speed is now mandatory infrastructure.
Ashland's broadband strategic plan was prepared by Michael Baker International. The company says few cities have taken the comprehensive approach to extending broadband as the city of Ashland has done.
While he understands of the concerns of those living there, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city has no mechanism in place for preventing a new 14-bedroom house from being constructed at the end of Lyons Avenue. Several Lyons residents recently told City Council they're worried there will be traffic, parking, and safety issues on their narrow street once all the rooms in the home are rented out by its owner, Dr. Larry Arnett. According to Trent, City Planner Joe Parson has told him the dwelling meets the town's current R1 zoning ordinance.
As far as the way it's written now and the way it's interpreted by Joe Parson and it was interpreted by our attorney and we checked outside to other municipalities, it is something that is legal.
Moorhead's R1 zoning statute requires that only single-family homes be built in certain neighborhoods. Trent says city officials will likely adjust the ordinance moving forward, but that won't prevent Arnett from building his house at the end of Lyons Avenue.
An official with the Moorhead Utility Plant Board says the agency could build a new $20 to $25 million water treatment plant in the next 3 to 6 years. General Manager Holly Rosas McGrath says the current treatment plant, which produces 5 million gallons of water per day, is at 75% capacity, and the state will likely soon mandate that it be replaced. Rosas McGrath is currently conducting a study of what it will take to make that happen.
I'm looking at maybe next year coming to the board with something final as a final recommendation. This is just very preliminary. I mean, we already know that there's a need, and you know, we couldn't really sustain any economic growth. You know, if there was to be another Guardian or a large industry come into town, we would not be able to service them because we don't have the capacity to do so.
It's been suggested that the MUPB's new treatment plant produce at least 12 million gallons of water per day. The agency is also looking to move its intake from a site along the Licking River to Cave Run Lake, since the water there is cleaner. Estimates say the plant board spends $250,000 a year just to remove the various organics from the river water.
The Hitchens community is going to be home to a new manufacturing startup. They're called Advanced Carbon Products, and they plan to make mesophase pitch, an advanced raw component in the production of carbon fiber. Don Malone partnered with several former employees of Ashland Petroleum to come up with the idea. He says carbon fiber is used in the production of automobile parts, among other things, but at $15 a pound, it's not a cheap option.
Well, the Corvette, the 2017 Corvette, is made of carbon fibers, as are the upper end of Mercedes and BMWs. They're all made of carbon fibers, but they're very expensive vehicles, and it would not be practical for the common cars we see on the road today to be made carbon fibers. So we intend to change that.
Malone says mesophase pitch allows manufacturers to produce carbon fiber that will cost less than $5 a pound. Construction of Advanced Carbon Products will begin sometime in November at the old brick plant in Hitchens.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's recent comments that the economy is picking up and there's been improvement in labor force participation don't square with the facts. That's what Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr told the Fed chief today during a hearing in Washington on monetary policy. Barr is a Republican from Lexington who sits on the House Financial Services Committee.
We all know that economic growth is weak. The Bureau of Economic Analysis reports that GDP output in the first quarter of this year was only 0.8%, in the second quarter of this year only 1.1%. And productivity, which is a real important indicator of economic growth, is in retreat. It's been decreasing by almost 0.5% over the last four quarters.
And Barr claims unemployment is declining because many people have given up looking for work.
A state senator from southern Ohio says fantasy sports betting pools like FanDuel and DraftKings are breaking state law when they take a cut from the entry fees of their players. Republican Bill Coley of Butler County says that's just not permissible.
The second you touch a penny of the entry fees and try to recoup, quote, handling fees, quote, shipping costs, or any other type of administrative expense, know that you are violating existing Ohio law.
Coley is introducing legislation to make that explicit. He's sponsoring a bill preventing fantasy sports leagues from making money from contest entry fees. His proposal also places for-profit pools under the regulatory authority of the Ohio Casino Control Commission. Coley discussed his bill during a press conference in Columbus.
And finally, this afternoon, youngsters will be taking flight during the 5th annual Young Eagles Flight Rally on October 8th at Rowan County's Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport. The event is being sponsored by the Experimental Aircraft Association. Its goal is to spark an interest in aviation among youngsters. According to Airport Board member Jim Flutie, fewer and fewer young people are interested in becoming pilots.
The EAA's effort at getting the interest back up and to at least expose the kids to the field of aviation, so that if they might pursue a career either as a pilot or in the mechanical business or the avionics, business dealing with aviation to get them interested in it.
Kids 8 through 17 will receive free airplane rides and will get a certificate that makes them official young eagles. The flights begin at 9 a.m. with registration closing at 2.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms this evening, then a chance of showers again late. Some thunderstorms may produce small hail this evening. Lows will be around 50 degrees and the chance of rain is at 60%. For Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms again later. Highs will be in the mid-60s. The chance of rain is at 40%. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. Lows near 52 degrees. It is currently 79 degrees in Ashland, 60 degrees in Flemingsburg, 82 degrees in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 69 degrees in Winchester, and it is 68 degrees in Moorhead.
4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, West Virginia led the charge against the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan yesterday in a day-long hearing at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Ann Lee has details.
President Barack Obama introduced a clean power plan last fall to significantly reduce carbon emissions to meet targets. The Environmental Protection Agency plan would require states to significantly reduce carbon emissions. While supporters say the plan would spur investment in renewable energy, opponents say it would hurt an already ailing coal industry and drive up the cost of electricity. Here's West Virginia Senator Shelley Moore Capito.
And it's not just the coal worker. It's not just the coal company. It's the railroad. It's the tire people, it's the cars, the truck people. The
opponents, however, said in court that the Environmental Protection Agency is undermining the system of checks and balances by essentially commandeering states to create a new energy structure. The case was determined by the circuit court to be so important that all 10 judges, as opposed to the usual 3, needed to hear a full day of arguments in the packed courtroom where some in the audience had waited in line for hours to guarantee a seat. David Doniger, director of the Climate and Clean Air Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council, said that the most interesting argument he heard was from a lawyer representing West Virginia.
There's one thing that the West Virginia Council said that really struck me. They're trying to make the argument that if the result of the rule is to require the states to issue permits for new sources or have their public utility commissions do their normal work, that this is a terrific invasion of state turf. If that were right, then every other part of the Clean Air Act that regulates power plants has the same effect and would be equally problematic. And
the issue likely won't be resolved until after a new president is sworn in. It is expected that the decision will be appealed to the Supreme Court. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ann Lee in Washington, D.C.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will meet the Cardinals tonight at 8:15 in Game 3 of their four-game set in St. Louis. After winning the opener 15-2, skipper Brian Price's Reds saw the Cards come back with a vengeance last night as they pounded Cincy 12-5.
Well, I didn't anticipate that type of vengeance. You know, I mean, come on. Doesn't mean we have to lose the next game because we beat up on them the day before. Certainly didn't know they weren't going to sit on their hands and wait around to get beat. And we just got into some bad counts, some really bad counts, 2-0s, 3-1s, and they just teed off on some fastballs.
Every game is important for St. Louis. With five games to go in the regular season, the Cardinals are only one game behind San Francisco in the battle for the second slot in the NL's wildcard standings. Just one afternoon baseball score, Seattle leads Houston 9-4 in the seventh inning. At 1-3 overall and 0-1 in the PFL, the Morehead State football Eagles will go into Saturday's conference home game with Valparaiso really needing a win. MSU coach Rob Tenyer believes his team will get things on track once it becomes more consistent.
We're playing really good in spurts in all three phases, and at some point we have some letdowns, some mental errors that allow big plays for our opponents right now. And we've got to get them fixed. We have to limit those, and we've got to create more of those on our side of offense, defense, and the kicking game.
Valpo is 2-2 and coming off of a homecoming victory against Davidson. After pulling the record to 2-2, the University of Kentucky football team will put their two-game winning streak on the line Saturday when they visit the number one team in the country, Alabama. Head coach Mark Stoops has high praise for the Crimson Tide program.
They're led by arguably the best coach of all time in college football, and starts there. But what impresses you about them is their whole program. Top to bottom, they do things right. They're extremely talented, and they're very well coached, so it's there's a lot you could talk about what they do right.
One piece of news, UK has announced that junior running back Mikael Horton will transfer from the school. Horton rushed for 318 yards and three touchdowns last season for the Wildcats. The Cincinnati Bengals host the Miami Dolphins tomorrow evening in Thursday Night Football. After losing two straight games and getting off to the franchise's worst start in 5 years, the Bengals go into the game badly needing a win. Head coach Marvin Lewis says there is one main key to victory for his team.
Biggest key is just understanding that we've got to execute and understand we've got to learn the opponent and execute and go out and do the best we can. And it becomes both the mental focus and getting our minds and our bodies right physically to go play great football Thursday evening.
Both teams have a 1-2 record on the year. Despite his team's 0-6 record, Round County football coach Gene Peterson says his young Vikings are hanging in there, even though things have been tough. According to Peterson, his guys remain optimistic and understand that they are a work in progress.
They know that going on down the road that we have to get in the weight room and get stronger, you know, to be able to really compete at a high level. I think, as time goes on, I think things are going to get better and better.
Round will face another major test this Friday as the Vikings visit 4-2 Greenup County. The Morehead State volleyball team will be in Richmond tonight for a match against Eastern Kentucky. Coach Jamie Gordon is excited about seeing how the Eagles fare against their longtime OVC rival.
I think one of the greatest things about college sports is those rivalry matches. You want to make sure that you're staying on task and staying focused, recognizing that, we've got to execute our scouting report and make sure that we're taking care of things on our side of the net. Utilize that emotion to kind of give you a little bit of extra lift when you need it.
While MSU will be out to improve on its 1-1 conference record, 0-2 Eastern will be in search of its first OVC victory. The Morehead State soccer team will travel to Eastern Kentucky tomorrow at 4 to take on the Colonels. The Eagles came up short on Sunday, losing to Murray State 3-2 after falling behind 2-0. Coach Warren Lipka says the key to winning at Eastern will start with MSU's ability to stop their talented offensive players.
Slowing them down, it's going to be on their home field, so we've got to make sure we're good defensively. We don't give anything away and, make the most of our chances.
EKU is 7-2-2 overall, while MSU is 3-7-1. And finally, in sports, Menifee County provides the opposition tonight for the Round County soccer teams as they host the Wildcats in a girls-boys doubleheader at 6 o'clock. With just four games to go in the regular season, the Lady Vikings coach Alan Evans wants to see his team playing with a sense of urgency.
Yeah, we told them a couple weeks ago, the seniors, your season's running out, so let's not hold back. Let's start playing, high-level soccer now.
The Round boys will be returning to the pitch one night after their big 2-1 win over Boyd County in a battle of the 16th region's top teams. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will open its Pioneer Football League schedule by hosting Valparaiso on Saturday. Game time is 1 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher as investors digested commentary from several key Federal Reserve officials while an OPEC meeting overseas concluded. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 110.94 at 18,339.24. The S&P 500 was up 11.44 at 2171.37, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 12.84 at 5318.55. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. In the afternoon, Reuters reported that OPEC had reached a deal to limit production in November. U.S. crude oil was up over 5% at $47.05 a barrel on the heels of the news. Earlier, U.S. oil had traded lower after a build in gasoline stockpiles offset a draw in crude inventories. Nike shares fell more than 3% after the company reported disappointing quarterly results. Sonic's stock also tumbled more than 7% after the firm lowered its fourth quarter guidance. In economic data news, U.S. durable goods orders for August came in unchanged versus an expected decline, but and I should say core capital goods orders did rise for a third straight month. The market did contend with a number of Fed speeches and commentary, as the Fed Chair Janet Yellen said in a prepared testimony to the House Financial Services Committee that U.S. banks are well capitalized but remain challenged by weak interest income. She later said the central bank does not have a fixed timetable for raising interest rates. Meanwhile, the Fed President from Minneapolis, Keshkari, said in a speech that the U.S. Central Bank can't keep interest rates low for longer because even with jobs being created at a pretty healthy clip, low rates are not creating inflationary pressures. The St. Louis Fed President, James Bullard, also spoke but did not comment on monetary policy. Overseas, European equities rose broadly as shares of Deutsche Bank rebounded from all-time low levels. The CEO, John Kryon, told a German newspaper that the bank did not need any government assistance or capital increase. The shares have been under pressure on worries that an anticipated multi-billion dollar fine from the U.S. Justice Department could damage the bank's finances. Gold futures for December delivery were down $6.70 at $1,323.70 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and ExxonMobil, and the worst performers were Nike and McDonald's. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Murphy Oil and National Oil Well Varco, and your worst performers were Paychex, Nike, and Leggett & Platt. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global Holdings up 7 cents at 117.56, CSX up 39 cents at 30.01, AEP down 14 cents at 65.36, AK Steel up 26 cents at 5.11, Marathon Petroleum up 80 cents at 42.65, and Community Trust Bank was up 9 cents to finish at 36.87. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly cloudy with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms this evening, then a chance of showers again late. Be advised, some thunderstorms may produce small hail this evening. Lows will be around 50 degrees and the chance of rain is at 60%. For Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms again later in the day. Highs near 65 degrees. The chance of rain tomorrow is at 40%. For Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, patchy valley fog developing late, and lows near 52 degrees. For Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs will be in the mid-60s. The chance of rain on Friday is at 40%. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, patchy valley fog developing late. Lows will be in the lower 50s. And it is currently 68 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
That'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Kenzie Thompson. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting, Ann Lee. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.